Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, I think we can agree the biggest story from last night is easy. It's Blackhawks won five in a row. Down 2-1, scored five unanswered goals and won 6-2. Cool.
Four goals in 2 minutes and 48 seconds.
Just the way it should be done.
Yep.
You know, if they'd been able to keep that pace up the entire game, Dave, they would have scored over 115 goals.
They would have.
That would have been cool.
You're right. I was thinking that.
Has John Heyden even scored? When's the last time he scored?
I don't know, but he throws a good punch.
When they were like, John Heyden scored, I'm like, I forgot he even can score.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can fight and he can score.
It's his third of the year.
All right, let's just jump in. Let's do the top six right now. Go ahead.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Actually, the top story is no freezing rain. It's a lot of fog, but you're waking up to good news this morning. I give Mary Vanderbilt full credit on this. She was doubtful yesterday. She said we weren't going to have freezing rain. She's got some sort of Nostradamus situation going on.
Well, we did have some freezing rain. I think up north they did. I mean, my daughter got nailed with hail and stuff.
When we came out of yoga, our windshields were iced over.
Yeah, I had a little bit last night, too.
So I didn't say we were going to have freezing rain. I just said the roads probably won't be as bad as we're anticipating.
Trump?
Yes.
It's good news.
It wasn't fake news.
A texter said, from Detroit said, you know, Detroit's in the listening area of the Steve Cochran Show.
Mm-hmm. And Michigan is ugly.
Yeah,
it is ugly in Michigan.
600 schools in Detroit are closed this morning because of ice.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Michigan.
So it just gives you an idea that, you know, it could have been worse.
If you're driving to Michigan today, it's ugly. It's a mess.
There are some schools that are closed, some that are starting late today. So check it out, emergencyclosingcenter.com.
Total scam if they pre-close the school today. They should reopen it.
I know, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Although I would be interested to see what kind of ice storm or what kind of ice accumulation there was in some of the northern or far west suburbs that seem to be more affected than downtown.
I'm north, and there was not much at all.
There's nothing
west.
I mean, we had some ice pellets.
But your driveway was difficult, wasn't it?
Not at all.
Mine was.
No, nothing. And I have a slope of 90 degrees in my driveway.
I was shuffling.
Go straight down. The back out of the garage, it goes straight down.
I'm talking about Sandwich. You know, I'm talking about Wonder Lake. I'm not talking about where you guys are at. I'm talking about the west, far
really
west.
Really, far west. Right. Yes, they did.
Well, I mean, I'm in East St. Louis, too.
That's true.
So I got the double one.
You got the double one.
I got up early to pick up Pete Zimmerman, who's a producer on this show, and because I didn't want him walking in an ice storm.
He's got another story, too, today from Pete.
Yeah.
This is getting to be a lot, Mary. You're picking him up a lot.
I know.
You're doing it every day.
This is how the talk starts.
Yeah.
So when I was driving, though, and I thought, these are fine conditions. He could have walked. There's nothing wrong here.
I
already woke
every
up early to
turn
do
on,
it. So,
every
yeah,
every like, left turn. This isn't
there's
so
no
bad.
Slipping. There was a little. There was a pile of water on his outside his house on his street. What do you call it? Like when it all pools.
Yeah,
a puddle. Looks like you're walking home, Pete.
Yeah.
I will just
I was
say
thinking
from
about calling you or texting you to say like, ah, don't bother. But I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
it's a beautiful ride.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Steve?
I'll just say from the weather department's point of view and the news department's point of view, we were 1 or 2 degrees away from potential disaster.
Oh yeah, it would have been a skating.
It would have been horrible.
The whole deal.
I didn't hear anything about power lines.
Nothing.
Problems.
No, we got very lucky. So if you'd like to mock Michigan, they're going through a lot of problems right now, but that wouldn't be the right thing to do. Next, State of the Union was an hour and 22 minutes of your life you'll never see again if, in fact, you watched it.
it was long.
Went right along your partisan lines. We'll get into some of the more detailed stuff later on. If the president actually did two-thirds of what he said last night, he'd be a completely different guy. He'd be a completely different presidency.
Yeah, that's State of the Union, right?
Right.
I thought his posture was strange, and again, this could be all presidents because I haven't paid that close attention, but he seemed to lean towards the Republican teleprompter, when he, you know, they split the chamber in both sides, and he seemed to have his body and his shoulders speaking only to the Republican side. There were a couple times he went over, but
did it throw you off at all with Nancy Pelosi putting the rabbit ears behind his head and doing shadow puppets and, you know? By the way, did Pence even know Nancy Pelosi was there? It's like,
he never even looked at her acknowledged her presence.
Pence didn't move the whole time.
He was just,
no.
Are we sure Pence is real? I mean, I don't know. That could be an animatronic situation going on there. Next, Chicago mayoral candidates are upset about Thursday's Fox debate that's only going to feature 5 of the 14.
I guess it's 13 now. I keep saying 14, but Dorothy Brown's out, so 13.
5 of 13?
Yeah.
And Gary,
percentage is better.
And this is interesting. Gary McCarthy wants to annex Oak Park for himself? Or?
I know, right? He's not a bad call. I mean, Oak Park is obviously very close to Chicago. It borders the western edge of Chicago, and there's a lot of people that live there, and there's a income generator and things of that nature.
But why would the people of Oak Park go, I'd like to help Chicago problems?
Especially since most of them are people who moved from Chicago to get away from Chicago.
Well, the only thing I would say is that the tax burden in Oak Park is much larger than Chicago. So I think the average, and I could be off of a percentage point or so, but I think the average income tax percentage is 7% in Chicago, and it's 12% in Oak Park. So if you were in Oak Park and you didn't want to be in Chicago, you can understand why, for pride and things of that nature. But if you were just strictly looking at the economy, you would see you could possibly see a tax difference in your favor.
Well, unless we go in militarily, I don't see Oak Park giving that green light.
Yeah.
You know? Next, Academy Awards official, no host. Next, scientists say the oceans will change color within 100 years. What color would you like the oceans to be?
Well, right now they're a nice sparkly green blue, but the good news is that from the stuff that I saw online, they'll look prettier. Like got a really cool shade of green.
But in the same way you go to a funeral and it's an open casket and somebody says, oh, they look so good. And actually, that's the worst they've ever looked in their life because they're dead.
The reason it's prettier is because the plankton is dying off. Yeah.
And there's no oxygen inside of it.
Right. But it's going to look pretty.
Yeah, so you've got that going for you,
I guess. As long as they're not red.
And next, Blackhawks 5 in a row. Beat Edmonton 6-2 last night. Edmonton's a good team, good young team. And now, Dave, as we talked about yesterday, exponentially increasing their playoff opportunities and climbing up the standings.
That's a big one.
Well, like Glenn Close in the tub at the end of Fatal Attraction, not dead yet.
Here's where they are. Okay, they have played 54 games. Vancouver holds the second wild card spot, and they have played 54 games. They are 3 points ahead of the Blackhawks, and they are at the United Center tomorrow night.
That's nothing.
There are four teams in between the Hawks and that last spot. But of those teams, only one of them won last night. That was St. Louis. Vancouver lost. Colorado lost. Exactly. Arizona lost. All the teams ahead of them are losing a little.
Did we just leapfrog by percentage points Edmonton?
They haven't because
they were right there too, right?
No, they're still in that. They're all tied. I mean, you have four teams with 51 points. Yeah. It's a pretty big cluster.
And you people laugh when I said don't give up. Don't give up.
I never did. But they're not there yet.
Laugh officially.
I could. But they're not there yet. But
got to keep it going. I mean, it dug so deep a hole, it's tough to keep it going, but you got to keep it going.
It's something that you can talk about now without people kind of chuckling.
You know, people have laughed at me off and on throughout my whole life. Some of it I've tried to obtain.
Right,
the rest of it was mocking.
All because of the Blackhawks?
But, go Hawks, man. That's good news. That's your top six right there.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Rahm Emanuel is going to be in studio later. The mayor will come by. President is actually calling after 7 o'clock this morning. Let's see here. A little swap situation going on later on. A Hawker Riddle for Hawks tickets.
We're also giving away something from Sweet Alley's, the gluten-free bakery.
So. Okay. Well, so hopefully you have stomach trouble. If you have stomach trouble, listen, and we'll help you out later on.
It's like food day today.
Or if you
pizza,
don't.
Baking.
And how do I pronounce this big shot chef's name?
Chef Bonchi.
Chef Gabriella Bonchi.
Yeah. They called him Michelangelo of pizza. He's from Rome, speaks Italian, bringing a translator. He's in town because in Chicago there are two Bonchi American versions of...
Have you guys eaten there?
I have, yeah, the one in the West.
And?
It's good. It's a different style of pizza where it's by weight. So you go in and it's not by slice.
What are you going to give me a fat boy? What are you doing? No,
they have these long sheets of pizza, and then they have like scissors, and they're like, tell me where, and you cut it, and then it's paid by the weight. They put it on the scale.
Really?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I'm sure it's very popular in Rome and in Italy, but this is something that's different.
Sandberg, you just told me off the air that I can't get a pepperoni pizza in Rome.
They had a showcase last night with Chef Monchi, and they said if you order pepperoni pizza in Rome, you get a pizza with peppers on it, not little circle meat.
Duly noted. Yes. Won't make that mistake.
So get ready for some sexy Italian coming up here.
Yes.
And I got to give Dave credit. Dave, I walked in this morning, and Dave took the first shot at me, and I was very impressed.
He really did.
He did? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a shot. No, I mean, it was a shot. Completely not asked for, and I couldn't have been more proud of you.
And he didn't even, like, say hello. He went right shot.
He just looked at me, and he went, wood chopping contest today? Yeah, because I have a checked shirt on. Little lumberjacky.
A little flannel-y
looking. But it's a black and white one. Yeah. It isn't even as lumberjacky as it could be.
Like a red flannel type thing.
Yeah, but it was a strong ad-lib, Dave. You didn't know what I was wearing. You didn't call the house. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
It's not like you were working that all night long, going, I can't wait to drop the lumberjack line on him.
You're giving him credit. You're giving him points for effort.
Absolutely.
The actual joke, like Mary said, it's black and white checkered. That's not what lumberjacks, it's red and checkered would do.
Yeah, we took a little comedic license.
You're just giving him the credit for trying.
It's a cotton. That's a dress shirt.
It's too far to know what the fabric is. I'm looking across the studio.
It is one of my favorite shirts that you wear.
That's not a lumberjack.
I just couldn't be more proud of Dave for ripping me.
Yeah, he ripped you.
And now Mary's ripping me.
Yeah. I'm not ripping you.
It's more of an analysis, really. all right, we're going to get to the news, and we'll do that next on 720 WDM. Adam Hoge sat down for the Steve Cochran podcast. This is original programming. This is stuff we don't do on the show. And it was pre-recorded earlier this week, and you can hear it now wherever you pull your podcast. What? I'll let you go to WGNradio.com. You can get it right there. And if you ever have a question for this show and you don't feel like getting on the air on this show in the particular manner that we normally get on the air on this show, you can call the question line, 312-222-5085, and just leave your question there. And we'll tell you when another podcast is going up of me answering your questions. It could be about anything. Anything at all. Including my shirt. 312-222-5085.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. On 720 WGN.
We have found the only icy spot in Chicago, and apparently it's treacherous. Ryan, you just came in from where?
Palatine.
How bad is Palatine?
There's a hill that I have to get down to get to the train station.
Well, that's your sledding hill.
not normally. It's treacherous out there. You got to kind of find the crunchy parts of the ice, because when you crunch, then you know you're probably not going to slip. It's the parts that aren't crunchy that are the scary parts.
But you didn't hit in any roads. It's the walking that was easy.
It was the walking on the sidewalks. They've been hitting the roads with salt and some treatment. So hopefully people can get to school.
If you can find a place where you could slip and fall, call us from there.
Oh, gosh, it doesn't take me an icy day to do that. I'm falling all over the place anyways.
Might want to see a doctor.
Yeah.
Pete's here, Pete Zimmerman, and, it's happened again. And first off, I thought we had a deal with our engineering department that cameras were going to be installed at the Pete House.
Right, yeah.
Well, where's that project?
You know, I think I've dropped the ball in that I haven't followed up on...
You were supposed to set up the camera installation appointment?
Well, you know, I was...
It's cold.
Bill, the chief engineer,
Only normal chief engineer I've ever talked to.
I talked to him, and he was like, yeah, we can do it. And then I just kind of was like, yeah, okay.
Is it because you sort of creeped out by having the engineers come to your house?
That's exactly what Pete said. He goes, now they're going to have to be in my house.
Is that what bothers you?
A little bit. But, I mean, I like them, but you know what I
think you're trying to will this eggplant stuff to go away. I think that in your head, you're like, you know, I just hope the person will get...
I don't see any way of solving the problem until we find out the eggplant perpetrator. So what is the latest?
Well, this is a new wrinkle.
Oh. Okay, so back to...
So like a tossed salad was dropped there? A chopped salad, possibly?
A dramatic pause.
Before we get to it, there have been a series since the summer, or even longer than that, of eggplants being dropped off near your porch by a man. Not a man. It could be a woman.
Man-made,
meaning it wasn't an animal.
Correct.
It's not like someone's taking an eggplant from an eggplant farm and taking it over there.
And each of these eggplants has an etching in it of what?
An anarchy, or what was the other?
Like
the
a, like a Latin A with the with line, it's an A with a line on the bottom of it,
and a circle, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So we don't know why, we don't know what it means. We've already done the part where we look up Google slang for eggplants being dropped off.
Nowhere.
We don't know what it, we know what the emoji is. So we know all that.
Yes,
and none of that relates. The only change in the eggplant pattern was when something else was dropped off a month or so ago. What was that?
That was a squash.
Right. And we don't know if they went to the store and they were out of eggplants, so they picked up a squash.
Right.
We don't know why.
Eggplants were on sale at Jewel this weekend, and they were scarce. There was only like two.
Well, of course, because somebody bought all of them to drop them off at Pizza House. All right, so what did you find at the house
a
now? New,
well, it's not at, not right in front. It's a different spot. It's about a house over.
But it's still on your property?
No, I wouldn't even say it's on our property. But it's an eggplant, another piece of vegetable, and very meticulously put around beans.
Coffee beans. Like a circle. What? Like a circle.
I'm looking at it now,
like a big like
and it
wall.
Clearly,
oh, I thought it was on the so a circle of
like a ritual,
like a lot of coffee beans, like a circle of coffee beans inside the circle of beans. The beans are on the ground. Inside the circle of beans are the two vegetables.
Yeah, and so it's
what
not, and it's
hell
not just
is that.
It's just not put down. I mean, it is like it's a really
out.
Nice no, circle.
Yeah, it's not like it's just spread like seed. There was meticulous.
Okay, so this
and we know this person has a big budget. Because coffee beans are expensive. Now we've got
that's a lot
can.
Of coffee beans.
That's a lot of coffee beans.
Like they might be black beans.
Mm. Oh, they look like coffee beans to me.
Well, yeah, the neighbor,
maybe they're black beans
that you share this property line with. Would anybody have been home? Because this would have taken some time.
Yeah. Well, it's before the thaw.
So this was laid down.
No.
Because you could tell by the eggplant and the other vegetable, whatever it might be, it looks like it has been there for a while. So once the thaw came...
But it must have happened when, like a night when we got the snow, right? Because they put it out, then it snowed on top of it.
Yeah, I feel that it was... It's just pointed in that they knew it was snowing. They're going to put it out. It's going to snow on top of it. And once the snow melts, here's the surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. Your story's better than mine. I thought it was accidental.
No.
I thought maybe they put it out and there was an accidental.
Were the carvings?
Discovery.
Have you looked at the eggplant and the carvings the same?
I didn't get that close to the eggplant.
It's pretty wilted looking from being under the snow. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when plowing and shoveling happens, sometimes that disrupts ground or whatever. It's impressive that the circling survived under the snow.
Yeah.
You know, like in our house, like
are you trying to blame the plow guy?
Well, they always
the
fix
guy,
it at the end
the
of the
plow
season.
Guy
but
and
you know,
the shovel guy,
you know what
they?
I mean.
Yes,
they tear up stuff, but this was
708 says it sounds like voodoo.
I have a theory.
I'm feeling that way.
What's your theory? Ooh,
theory time.
Yes, I think do you have any Wiccans living around you? Witchcraft, because they
Are you a witch?
It's nature based, you know, and they respect all living things, and they do offerings.
Don't respect Pete.
That involve fruit, sometime wine, flowers. I'm not reading anything about vegetables, but
there could be. There could be
some Wiccans living.
Yeah, because there's a house that's to the right of where this was.
Is that one with a sign that says "Witches Welcome"?
No, it does not. But they have creepy dolls in the window.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
You know these
creepy
people?
Dolls.
I can see
we don't know them.
I can see carving on the bottom side of this like plant. I can see it.
You should go knock on the door, and if the guy from Silence and Lambs answers, don't go in.
I'm going to be honest with you. If anybody answers in a hockey mask or some sort of dog control mask,
she don't live here anymore.
It's not good.
Oh,
but I think that's a pretty good theory.
Yeah, Wiccans, look into that.
Wiccans are they do good, right? They're not. This is good witchery.
It's all nature based religion.
Okay, but are we really going to bet that these are the good witches, Glenda? I mean, you know, we don't know that.
Well, the Wiccan is going to be like Mary said. It's going to be more of a witch lifestyle about connecting with nature. It's not necessarily Witches of Eastwick style.
Right.
Like it's a different kind of witch.
Texture says, why don't you just get a video doorbell to catch the eggplant bandit? We're working on that.
Yeah, we're working on
this.
That.
Is now 3 months in. We can't get you can't get an alarm system up. All right, so we got to get that done.
But this wouldn't have caught that because this is off the property.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how wide is the camera swoop? We don't know that.
They're adjusting.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Maybe they're listening and they're going, oh, he's going to put up a doorbell camera. We'll go one step over.
Bill, the engineer, did say that I could probably install it myself.
You just don't want the engineers to come over.
I mean, it's weird. I don't know. It's not weird.
Now, listen, I don't want anybody from work coming to my house. So can you have an angle off the camera that picks up more of your property, the neighborhood, if you will?
Yeah. Can we get two cameras, maybe? I mean, I don't want to.
Hey, you should also get one of those trail cameras that you can hide and put on a tree, and then when somebody walks by it, it automatically takes a picture of them. You can hide those and nobody will even see them.
Trip wires would be good, too. You know, you can
that. Another texter says, put lotion in the basket. Put I don't know if that's the phrase that pays? I don't know what that is.
Put the lotion in the basket.
All right, let's go here. This is Catherine. Catherine, what's going on here?
It's been a little while, but when I was in high school, I actually practiced Wicca for a while. And it's possible that this may be an attempt at a spell to ward off anarchy.
Oh.
It's possible you have a listener that likes you and is kind of trying to figure out a way to protect you from all the crazy that's been going on lately.
Oh, I like that theory.
This is the best theory yet.
Yeah, that is.
That's a really good theory.
Right.
Give Catherine something so she doesn't put a spell on me.
The flip side of that is it could be an evil spell that, you know.
All right.
We're going to stay on the good side.
Make it positive.
Leave it to Grzanich to be like, well, there is a flip side.
Nothing's happened to Pete yet.
And you start messing with spells and it's either good or bad.
I like Catherine's theory.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's something, that's why I wonder if other neighbors aren't sharing that they got them too. Maybe it's a community thing where they're trying to ward off evil spirits and they're putting vegetables.
It could be to ward off evil spirits.
Another good texture from the 219. You guys sure this is not an inside job? Didn't it start around the time a new person showed up? Rhymes with mustin.
Yeah. As you know, as Pete knows me pretty well because we work together, I just don't have the energy to do this.
Well, that's a perfect cover, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but you had already been doing the show together for 3 years prior to this starting last year.
So. Well, maybe Pete did something. Pete did something that Justin's very angry about. He doesn't know how to express himself.
I want those cameras to go in, and I want this to be somebody we know, and I want to confront them. After we find out. That's what I want to have happen.
Do you think the engineers are doing it intentionally so they'd have to come to your house to put up cameras?
Could be.
Can we also?
I thought it would stop after Mancow got a job because he was desperate for attention.
Can we also get a camera inside the house? Because I want to see the people doing it and your dogs barking. Your dogs are barkers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to see the dogs.
Pete's concerned he's going to be seen walking around in his underpants.
You have two dogs and a million cats in your house.
Uh-huh.
None of these animals are able to go, something's going on, and put a bark on this thing or a meow.
Maybe the dog's doing it, going, get me out of this zoo.
Or maybe the dog's big in the eggplant.
All right, we don't know what's happening, but we do know it's weird.
Yeah.
And we've lost count. This has got to be six or seven drops, isn't it?
Oh, at least, yeah.
This is the perfect story to be crowdsourced, meaning if it's text or calls or people like Catherine from Lake Forest giving us that information, this is the perfect thing for the Steve Cochran Show listeners to solve.
Well, they've had an opportunity for months. They've gotten us very low. The Catherine so far is the best leader.
But I still have hope. I have hope that our crew is right now on it. The texts are coming in, sending links to Wikipedia pages and things like that. So they're going to figure it out.
Of Wikipedia pages Wikipedia pages.
It's all tying together now, isn't it?
A little bit of both.
708, my wife and I got the Ring doorbell security camera system. They're very easy to install. Done with mine in less than 5 minutes.
Did you do that because of eggplant being dropped off at your...
Or are you the eggplant dropper?
Yeah, I'll get with Bill.
That's a terrible criminal, really, isn't it? The eggplant dropper.
The eggplant dropper.
Yeah, it's not a great scam.
What if it's like the tooth fairy or something? Yeah. Like, what if it's a supernatural experience that you capture?
Yeah. Molly, my wife, texting in saying the eggplant carvings are the same as Mary has.
Yeah, I could see it on the underbelly.
Did you tell Molly to stay in the house until further notice? To not leave without protection?
Yeah, I could see a little under
the crazy neighborhood you live in.
Upside down. Have they all been laying upside down yet? Or maybe in the snow it rolled over?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'll tell you what I don't like about it. I don't like the circle. The circle looks symbolic of trouble to me.
Yeah.
There's an evil to the circle.
Right. I mean, it looks menacing.
Yeah.
The other would be eggplant and squash. It's playful. Oh, here, your vegetable. But then
it's like local Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, yeah.
If Tom Hanks comes to your house with a bad haircut, there's really trouble. All right, last one. Texter 262. My cousin had a tumor as big as an eggplant. I don't know how that helps.
See, I told you. The Steve Cochran Show listeners are going to solve this.
Doesn't seem pertinent to this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
President's calling after 7 o'clock. Most valuable person on the planet calling. Big Shot Chef coming in, Chef Bunchy. Hawker Riddle for Hawks tickets. Hottest team in hockey. 5 in a row, 4 goals in 2.5 minutes last night. And coming back from a 2-1 down to win, beat Edmonton. Mayor Rahm Emanuel in studio after 8, and that's just half the show. We'll be back with your news in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And Steve's there. I changed that ringtone again when the president calls.
Yeah, good. That last one.
That's pretty harsh, though, isn't it?
This is bad.
Because, you know, when you want a specific ringtone to tell you who's on the phone. Like, you know, sometimes he calls, and I can ignore the call.
Right. You should get, like, a Nelly song just for him.
And people might say, well, you have caller ID, right, on the screen of the phone. I can't always be looking at my phone.
You got to know.
All right, I'll answer it. Don't worry about it. I'll answer it. I'll get it. Hello. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you, sir?
Let's just say I'm having a much better day than Liam Neeson's publicist.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Cochrane. Oh, and by the way, happy Chinese New Year to all your listeners. Mm-hmm. To mark the occasion, I just sent President Xi of China some beautifully gift-wrapped tariffs.
Oh, nice.
Tremendous. As you know, 2019 is the year of the Rosie O'Donnell.
No, you mean year of the pig.
That's what I said, year of the pig.
That's just not good. So first things first, how do you feel about State of the Union? Do you think it went well?
Well, I will tell you, the state of our union is strong. Not my union with Melania. No. That's very touch and go. I'm talking about the country. Now, during the speech, I had a very strange feeling that some creature was looming over my shoulder, clicking its dentures. Then I realized it was just the Speaker of the Blouse, Nancy Pelosi. I could hear that woman hate-sucking a Werther's Original right behind me the entire time.
Oh, it's got big.
Frankly, I need a new suit after the way she burned holes in the back of mine with her glaucoma-glaring eyes.
Oh, you're just mean today. I don't know. Did you feel like the speech hit the right tone with both parties?
I think it did, Cochran. You know, everyone came together last night, and we agreed on the most divisive issue facing this country, and that's Maroon 5's Adam Levine taking his shirt off during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes.
Very disgraceful.
Right.
Now, my speech, on the other hand, that was very graceful. I did tremendously great on the teleprompter.
So you got through it and thought it went fine, no issues?
No issues at all. Now, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but I got to give myself an A++ for my pronunciation. I pronunciated my words better than any president ever pronunciated in the history of pronouns. Did you watch?
Yeah.
I had more applause breaks than Lady Gaga. Everybody clapped. Even all the chick congresswomen dressed in white, you know, the She-Woman Man-Haters Club.
There's a report out that says you spend nearly 60% of your time in something called executive time, unstructured time. Now, how do you respond to that?
Okay, look, I'm the president, okay? When you've created a tremendous economy like me, you can do whatever the hell you want.
No, you can't. No.
Besides, unstructured executive time is when I get a lot of work done. No, really, I get a lot of work done when I'm tweeting in the jet.
Don't know if we needed to hear that full sentence from you, actually, there.
Look, that's not all I do. There's lots of things I'm doing in executive time. So many things. Like, sometimes I'll even call Barron into the office. I'll give him one of those ICE Border Patrol jackets and a helmet to wear. I'll have him chase around the White House grounds crew around the Rose Garden. Lots of fun. Or maybe I'm working on a New York Times crossword puzzle. I don't try to figure them out. I just fill in as many dirty words as I can.
You know, I guess I'm happy you're spending time with Barron on some level. It does sound sort of productive.
It's bonding. It's bonding. And by the way, when I find out who the loser was that leaked this report about my executive time, they will be punished severely right after I finish watching Faraday on the Golf Channel. I record all his shows on my executive time DVR.
All right, Mr. President. Sarah Huckabee Sanders called your executive time a, quote, creative environment to be the, quote, most productive president ever.
Yes. And, you know, she said that with one big, entirely straight eyebrow. So she totally meant every word.
Uh-huh.
Every word. Sarah's absolutely right. Productive is my middle name, Cochran. I've already put in an 8-hour day by the time Nancy Pelosi even gets out of her coffin. Seriously. This is why I love my Huckleberry so much. She's doing a great job as press secretary, and she deserves a nice little bonus. Hey, Mike. When you're getting lunch today, get me a couple extra 20-pack nuggets, a few large fries, and like 3 shamrock shakes.
It would be my pleasure, my liege. And would you like me to also get something for Miss Sanders?
Look at Mike Pence with the jokes, everybody.
I'll be here all week, Your Eminence.
Okay, Mike, that's enough.
I'm dropping the mic, sir.
Sunday, you said you'd steer your son Barron away from playing football. He said it's too dangerous. You said he'd have a hard time with it if he wanted to play. Is that all true?
That's right. I would never want him to be playing football. I mean, frankly, I don't even think he wants to. Besides, I promised Melania that when it comes to having massive amounts of brain damage, I completely learned my lesson with Don Jr. and Eric.
Well, we can agree on that. Chris Christie News says he will not challenge you by running in 2020. Do you believe him?
Absolutely. I don't care what the pundits say. Chris Christie ain't running. Ever. Not running. I mean, have you seen him? Christie could never make a White House run. Now, a White Castle run, maybe, but not the White House, believe me.
Sir, you have an 11 o'clock spray tan session in the Roosevelt room.
Thanks for telling all of Chicago, Mike.
And thanks for calling, President Trump.
Later, loser.
There you go. It's the first whatever.
I need that weekly, the later loser. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
Can we make that the ringtone?
Yeah.
Later, loser.
Later, loser.
Later, loser. Maybe that's the ringtone next week. Anyway,
definitely
that's
a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or something.
Later, loser.
I'm telling you, man.
Most valuable person on the planet time. We spent a lot of time in the past few weeks talking about homelessness. It's an issue every day in Chicago, every day of the year, and every day in America, every day of the year. But when weather gets cold, we tend to focus more on it, and that's not a good thing. Or I should say, it's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Mary Jo Kane Reese joins us. Congratulations, Mary Jo Kane Reese. You are the most valuable person on the planet.
Ooh. Well, yeah. Thank you. What an honor. Good morning, Steve.
It's an honor to have you on the show. Now, I'm told your daily commute to work always takes you past the viaduct on the edge of Chinatown, where it's essentially a homeless encampment of sorts, right?
It sure is. It is. I go past there quite a bit on my morning commute, and I used to look at these people and say, my God, someone's got to help these people. Why are they living under this viaduct? And no one is helping them. So I started taking stuff from my home, you know, extra things, blankets, socks, clothing, and giving it to them.
And they were very appreciative, I assume?
Very appreciative, very respectful.
Right.
And so I just made a regular thing of it. And recently it came up where, you know, it was going to be minus 55, and I was very, very concerned, and I would bring them different things. And the real thing that got me was the city of Chicago said no one would be left behind with this polar vortex.
Yep.
And these people were basically left behind because no one comes and checks on them. I asked them every trip, did anybody come and see you? And their answer is always, no, ma'am. No one sees us. No one cares about us. I suggested, you know, they go to a shelter or something. They said they don't want to go to a shelter because they're treated very badly there.
Yeah, and the shelter is, I've heard the same thing from folks, you know, right on Michigan Avenue, say it's dangerous. The shelters are dangerous, and that's why they don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I have to say these people are very respectful. A lot of people ask me, are you afraid? Aren't you afraid of these people? I say, no. These people don't want to hurt anybody. They have their hand out. They want to be helped. And a lot of people, they have a stigma where they say, oh, these people are drug addicts and drunks and, you know, this and that. And they're just waiting to get money or something for their next fix. That's absolutely not true.
I agree.
A lot of these people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
It can happen to anybody. Everybody's a paycheck away from
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, we need to reach out and help people because the feeling you get from helping someone is just amazing, amazing.
Mary Jo, it's interesting because that area, that encampment you're talking about, goes all the way from the Dan Ryan Expressway, and you see the tent cities that are starting to come downtown. A lot of people, because of the nature of their commute, they see it, but they fly by. They don't stop. They don't. They say, well, it's not in my backyard. I don't have to have any connection with this. For you to stop and to do that, that says a lot about your character. But also, tell us a little bit about what it is. I mean, because I think a lot of people just see it from the window of their car.
What are these people? I mean, they have no help, so therefore they just stay in that little under that viaduct. If someone reaches out to them and helps them and maybe puts them on a right path, directs them somewhere, they need someone to lead them. Some people are lost and they need someone to help them find their way. I'm sure if someone said, hey, there's a job over here, why don't you go apply for a job, clean yourself up. I know it's a little hard when you're homeless to clean yourself up, but I know there's a way. Maybe they can go over to a mission, get cleaned up, apply for a job. But see, a lot of these people are lost souls, and once you get into that black hole, it's hard to dig yourself out of that black hole.
Well, and it's
they
interesting.
Need some kind of, go ahead.
Sorry, Mary. You refer to them as the residents of this area because this is where they live. They're homeless, but live in the same spot. You know, that isn't even hidden. As Justin points out, you see it every time. You know, it is right there in front of your face. It's very difficult
hidden
to ignore.
Plain sight, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is when I'm over there with them, people drive by and they don't even, I don't even think they look because they don't care. They block that out of their mind.
Well, yeah, and it's uncomfortable. People don't want to look. They don't want to see because then they have to feel badly about themselves that they didn't stop and they didn't do anything. Did you really buy 200 White Castles?
I sure did.
That's
incredible. I was trying to maneuver some hot chocolate or coffee, and it just was going to be too encumbering. So I had like a bunch of, like 10 jugs of juice I gave them, like lemonade and some orange.
I think 200 White Castles is like 4 Crave cases. That's what they call
it. That's a lot.
Yeah, Crave cases.
And then I was sitting there quite some time waiting for my order, but they were so grateful. All I can tell you is I've never been blessed so many times than by those people.
And the power...
God bless you. God bless you. Excuse me?
The power of helping is, you know, reproduced exponentially. And,
it does.
You know, I mean, those folks then give back. And, you know, you can inspire someone who's really, really down to pick themselves up. You know, I rarely quote Bruce Hornsby songs, but, you know, there's a line in The Way It Is as he catches the poor old lady's eyes and just for fun, he says, get a job. That's what there's too much of an attitude of from people.
It is. And a lot of people say to me, they're like, Mir, why are you helping these people? Why? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And I said, how could I not? I can't turn my back on these people. These people need it, and it's good for them. It's good for me again. It's very therapeutic because you feel like you've done something, and that's why I do it. And I actually love it. I mean, it's just not the only thing I do.
I hate to break it to you, Mary Jo Kane Reese. You're a good person.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Don't hang up now. Where's your job? What do you do?
What do I do? I'm a legal assistant and a real estate broker.
We'll give your broker a plug. What's the name of the company?
Waller Realty.
Okay. Well, they obviously hired the right person.
I have my own website. I'm actually an advocate for the people, too.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Just people, you know, that have been wronged or have problems with big, you know, box companies or Fortune 500 companies. I'm always there to help someone. And like I said, I love doing it. Pardon me?
Superwoman. You're not just MVP.
Yeah, no, you know what? I wish, you know what it is? I wish somebody would do half of the things I tried to do, and we'd have a great world out there.
Well, we need more of you.
You can't turn your back on people because you never know. You could be next, and it could happen to you. And the thing is, we'd have such a beautiful world if everybody did this or did something every
day. Just do something. Just do one thing. You don't need to be the hero that Mary Jo Kane Reese has been. You can just do one thing.
One thing you could do, and it's just amazing. It multiplies. I've had calls from people, angels calling me, asking me what they could do for me.
That's
donations
nice.
Of clothing and different things from all over the city. Absolutely amazing, reaching out to me. Not a million people, but several people that
That's
actually want
starts.
To come down with me. Pardon me?
That's how it starts. That's how it starts. You know, it starts with one or two, and it goes from there. By the way, I would also encourage you, and I'm sure you found this as well. My son taught me this a long time ago. He said when you greet someone who's living through and surviving through the pain of being homeless, don't just give them money. Stop and talk to them for a second. Stop and ask them their name. And, you know, spend 30 seconds of your day checking in with them the way you check in with them, because there's a need for an exchange of dignity there as well.
I totally agree. These people, they just want respect, and they give me respect. I give them respect. And I've said this from day one. I treat homeless people on the street as well as I treat a CEO of a corporation. Yeah. We are all people.
That's it.
No one's better than anybody. And that's what people need to get in their head, too, that we're all equal. Don't ever feel bad about something, because if you think you have something, your next door neighbor has it worse. Mm. So don't ever feel like you can't be who you are.
I love your attitude. Love your attitude. Hold on so we can give you something else to take to the folks. Stand by for a second. Mary Jo Kane Reese, clearly the most valuable person on the planet. All right, break, and we're back with the news in a moment. The headlines are next on 720 WGN. Well, obviously, that's authentic pizza music. Joining us in the studio now, Chef Gabriel Bonchi. We have a gentleman who will serve as translator here and somebody who can represent the Bonchi America establishment, if you will. But first, let's start with your experience there, Justin. Would you say everyone should go?
Yes, Bonchi is a great pizza place in Chicago. It's got two locations, one in the West Loop and Wicker Park. And it comes from the Michelangelo of pizza, Chef Bonchi from Rome. There are only two places outside of Rome that that bring you this style of Roman pizza, and they're both in Chicago. For now, there's construction on a new place in Miami. But it is a pleasure and an honor to have Chef Bonchi in studio in Chicago, but also in our WGN radio studios today. So awesome. Thanks for being here.
Let's start with the...
Ti ringraziano perché sei venuto qui alla radio.
Thank you. Morning.
Very nice. Oh, very nice.
So he speaks Italian, and so we have a translator here as well.
It's fun.
Yeah. Let me start with the obvious question. Why no cheese?
Stanno a chiedere perché non mozzarella. What do you mean no cheese?
Sorry, I was told that there's no cheese on the pizza.
We have some that have no cheese.
Yeah. Well, how about this? What's the difference between your pizza, Roman pizza, and pizza that we know in America?
Sta a chiedere qual è la differenza tra pizza in America, pizza tua qua e pizza in Roma.
Ok, nell'impasto non c'è differenza, quindi il mangiarla dà la stessa sensazione, ma in America, a Chicago, ho voluto portare delle pizze che rappresentano l'Italia, ma comunque mi voglio avvicinare al gusto degli americani. Io amo il cibo americano, I love American food, e quindi per questo cerco di fare quello che mangerei, cioè quello che posso mangiare se fossi un americano. Per me è importante non sperimentare. Se io vado in un posto, la trippa non piace, non la faccio. Se qui si mangia la pizza con il pollo e blue cheese, e viva il pollo e
blue cheese. I don't speak a lot of Italian, but I think what he said is we don't cut it in triangles. Is that what he said? Well, what did he say?
Basically, he said that in the dough, there's no difference. So it's basically the same dough that we have in Italy, the same flour and the same oil and everything. And
he loves American food.
Yeah, he loves American food, so the only difference is maybe in the toppings. Maybe he loves American food, so he's trying to do some special pizzas, like wherever he opens a place.
What's a non-typical topping for pizza that you'd find at Bonchi that you wouldn't find in an American pizza joint?
Sta a chiedere qual è una pizza che non la trovi a Roma, che la trovi qua a Chicago.
La muffaletta. Pizza.
Oh, muffaletta. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I love a muffaletta. Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. Which
it turns out I speak Italian, I think.
Yes. Soppressata.
That's that meat.
Mortadella, cheese, so and buonissima, veramente buona. E poi c'è la pizza con la parmigiana di pollo, che è stupenda, e il chicken and blue cheese, fantastico.
I love that you keep mentioning blue cheese. That's a very positive thing.
Well, basically he said that the one pizza you cannot find in Rome, but he's gonna make it eventually, is the muffaletta. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the chicken and blue cheese.
Chicken and blue cheese, that's all you
good.
Need.
Yeah. That's it. I want to bring Rick Testman in. He's the go ahead.
Cioè, queste pizze sono state create qui in America, ma io me le porto anche in Italia.
So he says that these two pizzas, we created them over here, but we're going to take them to Rome as well.
Yeah. Very nice.
Rick Desmond is the co-owner of Bunchy USA, and I think it's amazing that, and it shows the strength of this town and its culinary prowess, that the Michelangelo Pizza opens up. The only other outpost is in Chicago. There are two in Chicago. Why Chicago? What was it about this place that resonated?
Well, it's exactly what you just said. It's it's Chicago, number one. It's a pizza town. Number two, it's a good food town and growing. And we felt that, we're fairly comfortable in Chicago, and we felt that if we came here, that the people of Chicago would let us know if they like Roman-style pizza.
That's for sure.
Roman-style pizza, another difference is that it's pizza that's cut with scissors, any size you like, and sold by the weight. So it's a different pizza experience than what most people are used to.
Well, it's like big sheet pans. It's
big sheet pans.
Big rectangles, if you will.
And big sheet pans will have a...
And rolls
plus.
Of dough. So you roll out the dough, and I go, that's it. And then you cut there?
Well, we'll have the scissor, and we'll move it back and forth, and you'll say, here. Yeah. And then we cut it, and it's like a strip. And we tell people to take, you'll get smaller strips to get more variety. The real prize of coming to Bonchi is you can get different things. One of the questions you asked, what's different, we have one of our most popular pizzas is octopus. It's a sautéed Mediterranean style.
I'm going to ask you not to do that anymore.
Octopus pizza, people love it. I mean, it's just, and they look at it and they're amazed. But
now I can't help but notice your accent, Southern Italy.
Yeah, Southern Italy, exactly. Tennessee. It's a small area of near Naples.
How did you get in this business?
I've always been in the restaurant business since college.
But as a nice boy from Tennessee, meet the Michelangelo of pizza.
I got lucky. We have a mutual friend who met with him. If you go to Bonchi Pizzeria in Rome, you'll see a lot of American students, and coincidentally, a lot of American students studying abroad from Loyola. And if you talk to the kids, I talked to them when I was there a lot. They, I ask them, would your parents like this? Would this be great in America? And they always say, yes, it'd be great. And but that aside, our mutual friend met. He wanted to come to America, and our group was one that felt that we could facilitate.
And the rest is pizza history. Stand by, more in a moment. Let's take a break first.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano.
In studio, Rick Tasman, Andre George, translator extraordinaire, and Gabriel Bonchi. The restaurants are where again, Justin? The two in Chicago?
There's one in the West Loop, and there's one in Wicker Park.
And we're happy to have him here.
So I want to know, what age did you start becoming this pizza artist?
Oops, let me get your mics.
Che età hai iniziato a fare la pizza?
Allora, a guardare un impasto avevo 6 anni quando mamma cucinava le paste lievitate in casa. E la prima pizza penso che l'ho fatta a 14 anni.
So he says that the first dough that he've seen was at age 6 when he was watching his mama doing the dough in house, and the first pizza he made it at when he was 14 years old.
I love the idea that mama taught him how to make pizza. That's so perfect. That's just perfect.
Are you how long when you started doing this and got your business going in Rome till you were able to actually get here to open something?
Dice, quanto tempo è passato da quando hai aperto a Roma e finché sei arrivato qua in America?
Sono passati 14 anni.
So they basically they're 14 years old up until he opened in Rome. Yep. And when he came here.
He's been working his whole life.
Yeah, I Roman pizza is not something that is familiar to all American consumers, especially here in Chicago. But in Rome, I mean, it is the pizza. How hard is it to stay on top, to compete, to be the best pizza maker in Rome?
Dice, visto che in Roma la pizza è conosciuta, dice quanto è difficile rimanere al top. Visto che c'è tutta questa c'è tanta concorrenza a Roma.
Non è difficile, perché in questi anni ho fatto delle persone di fiducia, ma non soltanto dentro l'azienda, ma anche a chi mi dà la materia prima.
He says it's not really that difficult because along the years he created a crew that that he what's the word?
He's got a good crew.
Yeah.
The right people. Surround himself with the right people.
Yeah.
Right, Rick?
And a good crew that gives him the products.
Sure. Speaking of products, I know that's part of the deal. Use only ingredients produced by people who share your beliefs and respect the value of culinary tradition and the art that is Bonchi. It's an honor to have you here. Pleased to meet you. And this is an odd time for a chef to be awake, and we appreciate you not tearing the studio apart. Rick, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you.
Andre,
by the way, Mama still works for him at the shop.
Thank you. I'm sure he works for Mama. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next. I got to tell you, Gabriel Bonchi is a big dude.
He is.
And if I worked for him in the kitchen and I don't want to use a technical restaurant term here, but if I dropped the dough, I think he'd murder me.
He could hurt you with his hands. But I like my pizza maker looking like he eats
pizza. Looks like he eats pizza.
Yeah, that's what I like.
And his mama taught him.
Yep. Okay, it doesn't get any better.
For those of you watching on video, you can see that the cliche of Italians talking with their hands is absolutely true. He's swinging his arms around.
I went
around
to Rome a while back for my honeymoon, and yeah, it's amazing the style of pizza that Bonchi brings here. It's amazing. It's so different than what we know.
When did we cut up this pizza?
The 8 o'clock in the morning pizza.
I couldn't help but notice the joy that came over Steve's face when they said, "You decide how much dough you want." That was a big moment for you, wasn't it, Steve?
It is. It is, because, you know, when you go in and your eyes just get really big and you're like, wow, more.
Yeah, I'll say when, and I haven't said it yet.
Right.
All right, somebody introduce the news, will you? Somebody.
Are we doing Hawks tickets?
Oh, that's right. You wanted me to do Hawks tickets.
Yeah,
why would I let people
know? You can do the seventh caller if you'd like.
No, I'm going to give you the poem.
You're going to do the poem?
I'm going to do the riddle.
Okay. It's a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the New Jersey Devils next Thursday, February 14th.
It's Valentine's Day.
Of Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. And Rokhan and Anna are giving away a pair at 440 today, so you're lucky if you get those.
Saturnino Orestes, or two-thirds of his name, from the 40s to the 80s, getting a hit in the game. A comet who left a color-breaking trail. The most popular player wearing hose that was pale. All right, 312-981-7200.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
812 More on Entertainment returns tomorrow. We got to talk about some stuff. Oh, who won? Who won the Hawks tickets? Ed and Displains just won the Hawks tickets. Of course, I was talking about who, Dave?
Minnie Minoso.
The great Minnie Minoso. In studio, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Nice to see you as always.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You look good.
Thank
I'm proud
you.
Of you.
Thanks, man.
You know how close we are? I didn't even feel like I had to bring you vegetables. It's like I can come to the Cochran
Palace. It's like a whole
without
thing.
Gift in hand.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, I got to ask you about State of the Union.
Do you?
When you
really?
I still have the taste in my mouth. Yeah. When, you know, you're hearing what you would expect here this morning. The Republicans all say it was great, generally speaking. The Democrats all say it sucked, generally speaking. This is a Hallmark card made-up holiday now, because there's nothing that comes out of the State of the Union that isn't more than 24 hours of headlines. Whatever the president promises almost never gets done. So what is the point?
Oh, no. It's important.
Why?
One, the Constitution orders it.
I get that part.
Okay, so that's...
I could send a letter.
If we're still a country of laws, you got to kind of follow
that. Send a letter.
Okay, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But Wilson, President Wilson, changed that about a little over 100 years ago. Everybody used to send it up by written form. I think it's the right thing to do, because I do think a president should set the course and explain to the country where we are, where we think we should go. And I actually do think that's the responsible. Having worked on 8 individual ones of them, I actually think two things. One, this was not one speech, it was two speeches. One calling for bipartisanship, and the other one rattling the base. So it was actually a kind of a bifurcated speech.
Okay, so I know you can't get inside whatever the Trump organization is, but when you put this together, when you helped craft this for Clinton and for Obama,
here's where I think
how much work goes into it.
Oh, well, they're both different. I'll tell you a funny anecdote. President Clinton used to practice. I would say, if I said 20, it could be 20. It could be 18, but it was never less than 10 times minimum. I mean, he would practice and keep rewriting it in the auditorium.
Really?
Movie theater at the over in the East.
Run it like it was real.
The first time we were doing this, the President Obama did a run through and said, okay, I'm ready. I said, whoa, what do you mean? I mean, I cleared like 3 days before. I said, what do you mean? I was trained with President
Clinton. Right.
I just talked to you yesterday about some stuff, and it was just unbelievable. But I'm done. Now, here's what I actually think. So, one, let's do a set. The only time you've had two presidents with as low a job approval going into a divided government speech. One was Ronald Reagan dealing with a recession after 82. He was in the 30s. Recession. The other time in what would be 07, right after 06, when we took back the House, George Bush, because of the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, with this economy and everything, Trump should be in the 50s. That's where Clinton would be, Obama would be, and President Bush, 43, would be. And it tells you something. And what I would have done in this speech, where I think he missed it, is, one, it's pretty clear he's close to getting an agreement on Afghanistan. I would have set that up, because that is going to be a big deal, ending the longest war in American history. Two, I would have set up the China trade negotiations and what it meant, because if you get it, and only he would know, you would actually elevate the expectation of how significant, because the economy is the biggest thing he has going into 2020.
You'd also blow the market up today.
So I actually think spending... I didn't do the timing, but let's just say 20% of your time on one topic, immigration, miss that in the next, there's three things in the next, let's call it 6 months, that could flip his presidency out of the doldrums. Pulling out of Afghanistan, which is not a popular war at this point. Getting an agreement on China that can set the economy. And three, an argument about why we will save democracy in this hemisphere and Venezuela. And those three things, if he had actually spent any time on them, the speech would have actually prepared the ground so when those things do happen, at least you can look at it today, two out of three look likely. I would have then, he would have actually taken himself out of 38-39% job approval in a quote-unquote good economy and elevated himself to 46%, and I think that would have been... And I just look at this as a drive-by missed opportunity.
Well, and also politically,
nobody strategically planning in that White House outside of him.
What you just said politically would put the pressure on Democrats then to respond to the fact that he gave you an optimistic three-point agenda. Now, what are you going to do to work with him? And he didn't do any of it.
And the truth is, he could have also put the Congress basically as just a bunch of babies arguing and fighting and constantly acting. And I think he, in the sense of planning, really missed an opportunity. And guaranteed, you got trade talks that have to happen with China, and they're happening. And you're going to probably get an agreement because both the leaders need it because they're both weak.
Do you think shutdown was in there and they took it out?
No, because basically he wants to put that as quickly as he can in the rearview mirror and drive 70 miles an hour from that moment.
But you wouldn't go on and say, I understand the struggles that government workers went through?
I think he keeps doubling down on a losing hand. This is like the guy at the poker table.
Making up for the losses?
Yes, and he's doubling down, trying to get out all the time with a bigger hand, and he keeps losing. I would not have done what he did in immigration, because the truth is you want to flip it, and if you have what looks like an agreement with Taliban to end the longest war, a 17-year war in American history, you would have actually created a big win. And Americans like one thing for their president, to win.
Yeah.
Incredible
waste of Afghanistan
winning,
and everything.
You've got three wins, definitely two coming.
You don't think he can win on the wall?
No, I actually. If I thought so, you would have had it already.
Yeah, but he made a pretty compelling argument last night.
You don't need me
to set up maybe a national emergency. I mean, he seemed to be setting up
the Republican parties. The Republican members of the House and Senate are going to walk from him on that. He's between a rock and a hard place.
Well, there is no national emergency. It is just complete nonsense. If there was a national emergency, the news that he likes to use and then call fake news, we would see pictures constantly of people climbing the wall and invading and kidnapping and pillaging.
Idiotic. Here's what he should have done. If you want, quote unquote, the barrier, what you say is, look, this is part of a larger strategy. Here's what I'm going to, and he should have enlarged the discussion of immigration. What he did was shrink it down to one thing, and again, he missed it. I just think, and I'm sorry, this is a White House absent strategic thinking.
So should the Democrats seize on the ad-lib in the speech? He had one line in there where he said, I want the largest numbers ever of legal immigration, which is different than what his administration has done in the last 3 years.
Should they
seize on that and say, yeah, well, then let's see it?
No, but the problem is you don't have a White House. Look, he had an agreement on a budget. He watched Fox TV, which he seems to do every day for like 8 hours a day. and decided to walk away from an agreement. He created this problem. McConnell's like, okay, and he's spending countless hours trying to figure out, I'm sorry, this is not that problem. There's no, you act like there's real thinking going on. You have a bad case of the for reals going on. Okay, there's no thinking going on.
Never.
You have an emotive president who didn't like what Jim Mattis said, so he fires him. And now everybody's trying to cover up for one of the worst strategic calls on Syria.
Well, and there's another.
He just made another mistake on Iran and Iraq. Give me a break. You act like there's really something going on where they sit together and strategically plan. This is a person, depending literally not how he wakes up and what side of the bed he gets on, how he falls out of the chair when he's watching TV.
And there is a win right there for both sides, because the win is we can work it, because the border is a problem. The border's been a problem for a generation. Fix it for real. Fix immigration for real. Don't
talk
about
it. Make it look. President Clinton used to say, which is, we're a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. And anything you do has to respect both of those.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where you're going to weave. But, you know, the problem is, and this is not Trump's, although he's making it worse, there is big support in the middle, but the sound is on the extremes. And leadership now is trying to find and weave a place that everybody can get enough to declare victory.
The middle's got to make more noise.
Well, here's the problem. You know, it's interesting. This is part of the one of the chapters I'm going to write on my book is, don't ever confuse in politics sound with fury.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, people on the extremes make a lot of sound. There's not a lot of sound coming out of, quote-unquote, the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ever confuse the loudness of the sound with the fury of where there's followers.
And forget about the middle, and you're never going to get anything
not
done.
Not just ideological, but there's a people want to see progress.
Of course.
And, sometimes you do it four or five steps. Sometimes you do it a step at a time. But it's just, there's no great, great call out of the middle, quote unquote, for let's do this. They want to see it, but they don't advocate with the same energy that the extremes do.
We got good news on schools I want to get to. But first, are you going to need help with Cubs tickets this summer?
No.
I couldn't help but notice.
You know something I don't know.
I couldn't help but notice that you were quite upset with Mr. Ricketts.
I want to be clear, because if my brothers do something that they're responsible. Joe Ricketts' comments do not belong in this city. And the one thing I know, Tom Ricketts and I know Lauren, I'll say complimentary, it's clear that their mother had more influence on their child rearing than Joe Ricketts. And what he said is abhorrent to everything I believe and everything this city believes. It's racist. And he owes everybody an apology. And it doesn't belong here. And I've spent very little time in Nebraska. My guess, it doesn't really belong in Nebraska either.
No, I would agree.
But here's the deal. Don't bring any of that to this city. You want to say it in Omaha? Go ahead. But don't bring it here. And if you say it in Omaha, we're probably going to still scream at you because it doesn't belong anywhere in America.
Dave, anything from the Ricketts family in the past couple of days?
Well, Tom Ricketts had issued a statement saying
not
that
Joe.
To distance himself. Joe Ricketts made a statement with an apology.
Here's the thing. He once, in this email with his son, said, not Tom, that I didn't share his values. Never are there truer words. I don't share those values.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Nor does the city of Chicago share that values. Now, my mother ran Congress on racial equality, was helping organize it, did the integration of Chicago, beaches and housing in Chicago.
The CORE program.
Yeah, yeah. What's that?
The CORE program?
Yeah, CORE. I will just say this. I think I think Joe Ricketts needs about 2 hours of my mother. A good Jewish mother would set him right.
Your
mother's
Ricketts
gotten
from
a little old. It may meet 2.5 hours, but I think after what she's done with three boys,
Do you separate Joe Ricketts from the rest of from Tom and Laura and the Cubs, the Chicago Cubs?
I'm not saying I know. You can never read a book by its cover, but I spent a lot of time with Tom Ricketts negotiating so he could invest in Wrigley Field. And be a good neighbor to Wrigleyville. I spent some time with Laura and her partner. I will just say those I've never heard, nor have I seen any intimation that those are their values. Joe Ricketts is not only Joe Ricketts, and all I can indicate is that Mrs. Ricketts had a greater influence on their child rearing and their values than Joe Ricketts. This guy assumes because he's rich, he has the character to speak on anything.
We've
he
seen
did
that
this crap. I'm President Obama and the birther, which is when I took him on. And I'll just say this. This stuff does not belong. It is ugly. It is stereotypes.
Yeah, yeah.
The only way hate survives is with silence. And I'm not going to let, and I don't believe people in Chicago.
What about Alan Simpson at McCain's funeral, right? Didn't Alan Simpson say hate corrodes the vehicle it, it's contained in?
I mean, look, the great, look, whether you say it about Mexicans or whether you say it about Muslims,
mm-hmm.
there are people of good faith and good character that both are Muslim and Mexicans that have come and built this great country and this great city. And I would just say that, you know, here, breaking news, Rahm Israel Emanuel is Jewish.
What?
But, yeah, I know. Just sit down, Steve. Don't faint. But every year we have a Ramadan dinner. Amy and I host it.
Yeah, more of it.
With religious leaders, Muslim religious leaders and people from whether it's Pakistan to the other countries of the Mideast. Because whether it's Jewish or Muslim, there's a share and belief in God and the values of unity. To say that Muslims is not a serious religion and not one of love is to be totally ignorant of the words.
I completely agree.
The faith and the spirit of the Muslim faith.
I completely agree.
And if I can find a way to reach out. So my view is, Joe Ricketts needs a 12-step program by Marsha Emanuel, and she'll get him right. I have absolute confidence in her.
Listen, I'm afraid of your mom now just based on that description. Let's
you know what I used to say to my mom? You love Ezekiel more than you love me. She goes, no, I hate you all equally.
Headlines coming up. And
that's all you got to know about my mother.
We got to get this new school news in, yeah. too, and I got a couple other things to bring up, too. Mayor Rahm Emanuel's here. The Chicago Public Schools are announcing a new summer reading initiative. This has been a big deal. In 3 months, this is not going to be something that you're going to be able to shepherd the way you have in the past. I think it's important that you talk about it before you leave,
so
the summer reading program.
When I first got elected, we set up what I call the summer of learning because it deals with the summer slide where kids slide back 3-4 months
right.
in the summer academically. So when they start the school year, they're back in April, basically. So at the library, which we have over 100,000 kids participate in, called ROMS Readers. Mm-hmm. They read books and stay engaged. All the museums, Shedd, Adler, participate. So we make it a big campus, the city. And twice the library's been, Chicago Public Library has been awarded by the Summer Learning Association as the best summer learning program in the United States. 20 cities now replicate Chicago.
I think one of our Kid of the Weeks was one of ROMS Readers.
Yeah, that's true.
The bow tie ring kid.
Yep.
And so one of the things that's happened over the years when we lengthen the school day and year is the amount of kids that have to go to summer school for catch up started to shrink. It's almost cut in half, like 40% reduction. So Janice and I were talking in our weekly meeting, and so one day, Janice Jackson, we came up with the idea, rather than summer school being about catching up, it'd be about getting ahead. And the Lefkowski family and another family helped us, and so at 50 schools we're going to pilot. The third grade teacher at the end of the year will give the second graders, here are your 4 books, read them in the summer, so when you start school, you know these books. Fourth to third, fifth grade teacher to the fourth grade incoming. We're going to fund all the – nobody has to worry about the books. We're going to fund all the books, et cetera. And then summer reading will not be – or summer school or summer learning will not be about catching up because you're during the year you fell behind, but about actually getting ahead. So when you start in September, you don't have to hit the reset button. And the simple – and I think we have these 50 schools based on Dr. Jackson and others. We'll do it this summer, and I have all the confidence that you'll see success. And then we have the charitable and philanthropic community ready to take it to all, you know, 300-plus elementary schools across the city. Janice and LaTanya McDade, the two top folks at the CPS, are picking the schools. We're going to road test this summer, get the bugs out of it, but then going to go and take it citywide, assuming that it meets the academic, which I can't imagine. How could reading books during the summer not work? Although, Steve, you're living proof you don't have to read during the summer to make progress.
Well, if you want to get into show business.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an exception.
That's it. Those are standards.
Yeah.
Anybody can clear?
Anybody. Listen, if you can't find legitimate work, do
you
this.
You read that advertisement from
Walter E. Smith.
Walter E. Smith, unbelievably.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, what can with I tell eloquence, you? Like what Shakespearean English.
What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Everybody that wants your job has come through here, with the exception of Neil Sales Griffin, who's in on Friday.
Yeah, he's coming in soon.
Strangely enough, they all think you're a dramatic failure.
So does Amy.
Yeah.
Tell them to get in line. There's 14 people universally think that now.
I have asked each and every one of them, aside from bashing each other, what do you do to continue the good that's going on in this city? Uh-huh. How do you keep the cranes above the skyline? How do you keep the good rolling? And I've gotten very weak answers from everybody. That scares me as much as anything, that you don't look at a job as big as the mayor of Chicago without a vision of how to keep the positives rolling.
Here, two things let me say. One on the economy. If you want to make investments, you got to grow the economy, not redistribute what you have. And one, that's what we started off, and today we have the lowest unemployment in the history of the city and the highest employment since 1950. And we've been growing the economy, but then also we've been added 8,000 kids to full-day mentoring. We're doing universal full-day pre-K. We have doubled the size of summer jobs. To get those resources, you need to grow the economy.
Well, how do you monetize the success if you don't talk about it, if you don't have a plan for it?
The second thing is, you know, Sean Reardon at Stanford University said that everybody has to watch Chicago Public Schools because they're outperforming on reading and math and gains across every sector, not just some parts of the city. And our graduation rate is double the national average over, you know, growth-wise. We went from 56 to 78.5. We're on way to track 80%. This year, 50% of the high school graduates already have college credit under their belt. And so we're making real progress, and you got to have the ability sometimes to tell people no. You got to have a vision, and then with that vision, you got to have the mettle to see it through, because there's a lot of political forces that don't want to see, as I used to say to President Obama, people hate the status quo, and they're not too excited by change either. Yeah, they kind of got you right where they want you.
On Monday, you are going to come over. We're going to record a podcast.
Oh, we are?
And we'll be putting it up next week. And we'll have a longer conversation about all these things. But as always, I appreciate you coming over.
Thank you. The one other thing, I just wrote a piece in The Atlantic about what I learned that the reformers don't get about education. Things like, it's not about the teacher. It's about the principal as well.
Okay. Is it up now? Going up today?
Yeah. Number two, stop the fight about charters versus neighborhood. It's about quality versus mediocrity. It's not about brand. Number three, high school is not about graduation. It's about preparing for what's next in education, because high school doesn't cut it anymore. And number four, since 80% of our children's time is outside the classroom, don't focus only on the 20%. Invest in after school. Invest in summer jobs. Invest in mentoring programs. Invest in all the ROMS readers and reading in the summer. Everything outside the classroom can help you see progress inside the classroom. And none of the big literature and the big fights over the last 20 years. It's always about teacher this, teacher that. Never about the school principal, and they're the driver.
You got to think differently.
Yeah, well, it's things you learn. And I'm, you know, I'm proud. Most proud of where we've made progress in the schools. When 30 years ago, William Bennett called us the worst. And today, everybody's saying you got to look at Chicago, because that's how you see progress. And we're not done, but we're heading in the right direction.
It's going to be a very busy last couple of months for you. By the way, say hi to your lovely wife and your family. And please say hi to your mom, because I'm afraid of her now.
No, well, actually, I think, Steve, you will only need 45 minutes with her. Joe Ricketts, 2.5 hours.
I would just meet your mom and go, whatever you need. Whatever you do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no negotiation there.
You know, we are all, I refer to my marriage, I'm Neville Chamberlain. Peace in our time.
Right. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah.
All right. It is past time for me to say this. We will be back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, it only happens every 2 years, so when it does, you need to pay attention to it. Unfortunately, generationally, kids are more connected to the environment than ever before. And with all the scary stuff we hear about what's happening in the world, maybe they can save us from ourselves.
Yeah, right on.
Introduce our guest.
Wild Things Conference coming up February 23rd at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Rob Telfer is here. Rob Telfer, longtime performance poet in town, also a habitat restorer at Morton Arboretum. He's brought along a couple of people as well with him. Natalie Hernandez, who is a youth community scientist at the Field Museum, and Asia Castaneda, who is
Castaneda!
environmental social scientist at the Field Museum.
Who corrected somehow.
So we're talking about this Wild Things conference, and this is, you know, obviously it's celebrating all the things that the Chicagoland area bring to nature, but it's also about connecting youth to that experience, because it's always been something that the nature has been studied by a certain set and doesn't necessarily let everybody in. Mm-hmm. So there has been more of a citizen move or a community move to get more people involved.
Yeah, for sure. And I think in some ways the environment is celebrated or defended by people who have the most time to sort of be around it, which are traditionally been retired folks who are great. And they're really good, and they will defend nature with their last dying breath. That's not sustainable. And if we're talking about sustainability, we need everybody at the table. And so I've been very fortunate, and Asya has been very fortunate. I'm just going to speak for you to work with young people who care about the environment as well.
And what do you see from a younger generation that you don't see from, as Rob just said, the retirees?
Well, the younger generation are more connected to so many more issues because there's so much more information online. They're much more savvy, and they quickly learn how to use these tools that sometimes other folks take longer. It just makes the work more efficient.
Well, how do you focus the passion, though? Because they have so much information coming at them all the time, do you have to find kids that are specifically interested in this, or you ignite the passion and they tell others, and they have a network to do that like never before?
So it's a little bit of both, but I think that when you are working with youth, you have to do small projects to build a sense of accomplishment so that they're not overwhelmed with all the information and not overwhelmed with where to start. So the workshop that we're going to give at Wild Things is called Empowering Youth, the Culturally Relevant Way, and it's based off of a program we have at the Field Museum called the Chicago Green Ambassadors Program.
Okay.
And so the program takes 15 youth, high school students, and it pays them over 7 weeks, and it trains them on social science and ecological skills.
What a cool way to spend the summer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, at the Field Museum. You meet scientists. You get to work with Rob.
Yeah, that's what that was the main selling point, is just a picture of me and no other information.
Well, Rob is throwing old people out the door. We're done with you.
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of these old folks. Make way for this 38-year-old man. It is, I think, too, like Asya said, it's important to have these successful small bites, but also that's how we can sort of like be the... What's a positive way to say the...
Well, you train momentum, right? You train momentum because you give rewards for achieving small things, and it kind of self-propels from there, I would think.
We would hope.
Well, that's the goal anyway.
Yeah.
Natalie, what's a youth citizen scientist?
So basically, we come from different communities, and we just put our minds to like problems that we see in our communities, and we just like work with them, and we work with other communities to see what new ideas we could improve in our communities, and all involving our environmental issues in the whole world.
And how old are you? Where do you go to school and all that?
18, and I went to school at Juarez High School, and now I'm at Richard Daley.
Good for you. You know, Justin, you know this. We all get locked into ideas because it's the way we grew up. It's our accumulation of knowledge. The cool thing about kids is they're inspired. They're more free thinking, and they can bring stuff in and you go, oh, yeah, I should have thought of that. And I would think that's one of the bonuses.
And I would also assume a connected community, especially younger people, can take on issues that people didn't even know were happening in their neighborhoods. We've seen this so many times, whether it's environmental violations or even to the we saw this with Silver Shovel back in the 90s where people were just dumping industrial waste into certain spots because the alderman said, yeah, you can use that lot, and people just accepted it. Mm-hmm. And we get to a point now where a younger generation is saying, that is not environment, that's not nature, that's not environmentally friendly, and I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah, totally. I think it'd be interesting to hear Natalie's perspective about how she came to this work. I know that so we do try to engage with youth who are already sort of initiated, who can then be Chicago Green Ambassadors to other youth, who could see them, be like, hey, you're really cool. You are young and not just talking at me, I am interested now too. And so, yeah, I.
Well, Natalie, tell us, how did you get involved in this? What drew you to this?
So a teacher in my high school, she told us about the program, and when we read it, it was like talking about the dominant environmental narrative. And when I got more into it, I was like, wow, it was something that it like. There's not many conversations about it, and it's like I had like mentioned before, I had seen like in my community that there was a lot of environmental issues and like nobody was taking care of it. Like there's a lot of pollution in Little Village. There's factories being built when there's like only two parks, big parks. There's not a lot of green spaces. So like when I saw the review about the program, I was like, oh, I really want to talk about this and I want to get involved. And it's like part of the field museum, so it's like more people getting to know about my community or like what the youth thinks, because nobody really takes into consideration that the youth is thinking these things of like, oh, why right. don't I have what other neighborhoods have, or why is my neighborhood looking a certain way when like there's many youth in Little Village and we don't have green spaces, we don't have parks, we don't have enough resources for our community.
How about having your opinion valued? Is that, I mean, there's a lot of power in that where people are actually listening to what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
All right, quick break. We'll come back and do more. The website is wildthingscommunity.org and wildthings2019.sched.org. That's S-E-H-E-D. A couple of weeks away from the once every 2 years Wild Things Conference. We'll find out how you can help and get involved, too, in a second, if you're not already outside trying to find old people. Wild Things Conference coming up. All we're trying to do is save the world, and that's not a joke. Rob Telfer's here, as well as
Natalie Hernandez.
Natalie Hernandez and Asia Castaneda. Justin.
You know, I always remember this. My dad told me we were out on a road trip one time, and I was on the East Coast, and I was like, oh, it's like these dolphins are amazing. It was like by the ocean. And he said, I grew up in Chicago. He's like, the only thing I knew was muskrats down by the river. Like, it wasn't. And I was like, huh, that's got to be an experience for a lot of Chicagoans, that they don't feel connected to nature, that they don't feel like, like it's not promoted. That has changed, obviously, generationally. But with Wild Things Conference, and just following you, Rob, just watching what you do at Morton Arboretum and other places, you realize that this area is lush with nature. Yeah. So many things that are very unique to the Midwest are here.
Well, a lot of my origin story comes out of when my partner moved here from Portland, and she's used to living next to mountains all the time. She's like, 20 minutes, I could be on a mountain my entire life. And the first time we went to the suburbs, she wept because of just all the warehouses, you know? She's like, this is my 20-minute drive is to the warehouse capital of the Midwest. Except, well, I was like, that's not fair, because I feel like there is nature here, and you just have to know where to look, and you have to know how to find it. And once you do, this is one of the most biodiverse places in the country. A lot of people don't think Chicago is a very biodiverse place, but it's the confluence of three major ecosystems. It's also the third largest city in the country, and so we have a ton of people and a ton of really good nature, and some of it has been really degraded and polluted and pooped on. But some of it is still remnant and pristine, and people are working very hard to keep it that way. And a place like Wild Things is where you can go to get that secret map of Chicago, to see the wilderness. We don't have dolphins, but we have like really cool spiders. And there are bigger things moving back, which is one of the cool things about all That's the wild. Work people have done. Like badgers are coming back to the region, and skunks, which I know people have...
It's the badger thing. When you say badger, Dave starts to flinch.
Not those badgers.
Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said about climate change, and of course it's affecting everywhere we live, but you're seeing the climate in the Midwest change, where more of the wildlife and wild things are that used to only be found on, you know, northern Wisconsin are migrating down. We're getting, you know, I know that Dave lives close to Forest Preserve, and he sees coyotes and other things.
Dave lives in a wildlife refuge. He's got dancing animated animals.
There's coyotes all over the place, and skunks everywhere.
Yeah, there are coyotes that live right out the studio out here right now. A lot of people don't know that, but they've learned how to adapt to humans. They put a camera on one recently, and it was a very busy place right by Navy Pier over there, and it was a busy street. The people dispersed. The coyote walked up to the road, looked both ways, and then it crossed the street.
Yeah.
And so
they adapt.
But not everything does, and that's why it needs folks like darling Natalie, to protect these places and make them better. It's sort of like we have these super polluted places and we have these like pristine natural places, and we're the work of all the folks who come to Wild Things are trying to bring those two together.
Asi, I just want to ask the difference between, because Chicago has both of these things, the discovery of discovering new things, the biodiverse area, but also restoration, because it is a place that has damaged and has overlooked nature for so many years.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the approach we do to restoration is inclusive of different communities and different environmental narratives. So, like, connectedness to nature, what does that mean for Native Americans? What does that mean for Mexican Americans and for African Americans? So the way we do restoration is inclusive of different cultural connections to nature.
It is the Wild Things Conference. It's wildthingscommunity.org. And go to the website now, and there's registration there. It's easy. Click on it, register. Help out, go and experience, and then go save a badger.
Just go save a badger.
Go save a badger.
Nice to see all of you. And Natalie, good luck. You're going to rule the world.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take a break. Come back with the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN. Here, time to swap your stuff. 312-981-7200. What kind of crap are you trying to move?
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, of all the junk you call in and talk about today, Super Joe is going to decide who's got the best junk, and you're going to get a Sweet Alley's Valentine's Day treat box featuring Sweet Alley's sweet and savory gluten-free baked goods. Sweet Alley's bakeries are located in Hinsdale and Glenview. Go to sweetalleys.com to learn more. So Super Joe will decide.
So Super Joe will decide. 312-981-7200. Best brag, right? If you got the best junk.
Yep.
That came
but you'll decide if, in fact, their crap is good crap.
Right. Well, we'll put a number on
it. And based on what you say, that'll help determine whether or not Joe buys in.
Yeah.
You know, Ross is gluten-free, and he's not hobby gluten-free like so many people now where they go, huh, I don't know if you heard I'm gluten-free. he actually has, Olympic-level issues. So the Sweet Alley's thing is a great
And we've had, I am not gluten-free, but they have dropped-off treats here, and I ate the whole lemon pound cake that one time.
Huh.
It's delicious.
There you go.
Man, she
all right, Greg, what do you got today?
Well, I brought in a rotary phone.
What is that?
I know. Some people are like, what's that?
Put the mic on that, Mary.
Right. And they can go for, this is a yellow one, so this one will probably be about $70. But if you have a pink or an aqua blue one, it could be like $120, $140.
What about a tan one? Like an office tan?
Yeah, like common
garage.
Like black or tan. Or
you know, it used to take 20 minutes to call 911.
Right. Right.
I'll do
911
now.
Yeah.
Right.
Nine.
And, you know, you've seen social media where they put them in front of kids and they're trying to figure out what to do. They're pressing, like, buttons.
Well, Super Joe, do you remember your family ever having a rotary phone?
No. My grandparents had one in the basement that we played with, but I don't think it was active.
Nah.
Nice. And,
Did you think it was a calculator?
I just kind of threw stuff at it.
The worst is when you screw up a number.
Yeah, you have to start all over.
You got to start all over again.
Yep. And then I also brought in a Mattel 1967 hand puppet with the pull string. It has like seven different sayings.
Is this your imaginary friend?
Yeah, when I'm lonely, it's it's got seven different sayings, so it's not the same saying over and over again, I guess.
Okay, so, all right.
So,
where is that?
I'm on it.
And Mary will do it.
Justin keeps telling me not to.
You got to stop playing with the phone.
Break it. I should
Justin keeps telling me to break.
It's from 1966, you said?
67. I've had it restored.
Hang on, let me hide under the table to get a full.
Yeah.
Okay, and what puppet is this?
So this is Dr. Doolittle.
Imagine talking to a tiger.
And they made it for the band The Monkees, Herman Munster, probably eight different pop culture items.
By the way, we should remind people, if you're watching on CLTV now, the internet wasn't invented yet. That kind of sums it up.
Right. Yeah, we had to keep ourselves entertained.
I like the way Sandberg's making him bow.
Right.
So a hand puppet with the drawstring.
Right.
Those are tough. Those break.
They do. And the most common fault is they lock up. So then, I sent this out to be repaired, and it's working like new now.
Are there people that repair those?
Oh, yeah. This one was repaired by a 13-year-old kid outside of New York. Which is, I found them on the internet, and it's just crazy.
Like, I repair drawstring
kid,
hand
I can't
puppets.
Fix it, but this kid can fix it, right?
And I'm telling you, there's a job for everybody.
It is. It's awesome.
So yeah, and that's probably $60 now.
Yeah. All right, 312-981-7200. Texters and phone calls. You're welcome now to call in and say, I got some. Hey, I got some.
I got something good. Yep. I showed this 815 said I showed my 6-year-old granddaughter our black rotary phone, and she was afraid of it.
It is heavy. It can hurt you.
It looks like a bomb.
Right. And you know, and I was
and it was never. You know, do you remember this? The desk rotary phones, they belonged in an office or a den,
yeah,
because you always had one in the kitchen on the wall with a super long cord.
Right. My grandparents
mounted, yeah.
It was cord. Always tangled.
Mm-hmm. And my sister had the princess phone in her bedroom.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
On the wall or on her dresser?
No,
dresser?
No, like on the nightstand. Yeah.
307 just texting saying they have a working rotary phone right now in their listening room, mounted on the wall, black.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. And now, you know, we have to do the exchange, like the 312, the 773. It's even longer dialing experience. You know what I mean? It used
and
to
even
be
the one before that. Right. You know, one, you have to dial one, then 773.
One. Right. You think about it, like in World War II, it's amazing Roosevelt ever called Churchill with the pain it must have been just to dial the number.
Well, and back then you had to crank the phone, too.
Country codes. Good Lord.
Right.
All right, we'll come back. 312-981-7200. What's your stuff? Tell us by phone, whether it's rotary or, you know, one that we actually use today. 312-981-7200. You can text there as well, but not on your rotary phone. All right, somebody's going to win a Sweet Alley's delightful, delectable package. If you got the coolest stuff you're asking about,
Valentine's package.
I kind of see a winner already up here, but it's not up to me.
Super Joe.
Let's go in reverse order here. Candy. Candy, what do you got?
Hi.
Hi, Candy.
I have a slot car set.
Oh, I love slot cars. Can I come over
I
and play?
I about them. I have the whole set. I have the tracks. I have cars. I have chassis.
Yeah, totally
the,
coming
the
to
The cars
house.
Are definitely desirable, even without the track or the rest of the set. But yeah, do you know what brand by chance? Was it?
No,
the
I
the cool
don't.
Kind.
Yeah,
the cool brand.
Were there different brands?
But I am willing to sell them. Are you interested in them?
I might be if you want to send a picture. Facebook DuPage Picker. I'll take a look at it. And if I don't buy it, I could hook you up with someone who might.
Okay.
All right, hold the line because you might be a winner. Let's go to Dave and Dundee. Dave.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, guys?
Good morning.
Good.
Listen, back in 1969, a real good friend of my family was a maitre d' over at Allgowers and Niles Displays, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Holtzman, who your guy who answers the phone didn't know who he was a no-hitting pitcher for the Cubs, was what had his wedding reception there. And she got me all of the Cubs autographs on his wedding napkins. It says Kenneth and Michelle.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I've got my big one is I got Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, and Billy Williams on the same napkin.
That's awesome.
So I'm just actually for insurance reasons because I'm never going to sell that. I mean, that's kind of like a really cool thing to have.
Right.
So I got them framed. They're like in mint condition. I mean, you know, when she gave them to me, I put them in a frame back then. I was 11 years old. So what do you think?
The napkin, being on a napkin might not be as high as if it was like a photo or a ball or a bat, but
sure.
You're probably still for those three signatures, you're probably in the 1,000 range, I would guess, if you're going to insure it.
Wow.
You know.
Really? What do you think that would sell for if I would come into your store?
It's tough. I would start an auction maybe at like $600 and hope for the best.
Really?
Crank it up.
For being a napkin, yeah.
Yeah, that's just those three. And then I have the other ones. You know, I got Kessinger and Beckert and I'm miscellaneous ones. I've got like seven of them.
He's got a tablecloth for the 69 Mets with blood on it.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And as we talked before, the actual single signatures sometimes could be worth more than like a team.
Yeah.
You know, right. So we talked about that.
But there's something great about it being a Kenny Holtzman's way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, congratulations. Could you sign this?
We got a cool Blackhawks announcement coming up in just a second, but let's run through a couple more of these in the lightning round here.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, what do you have?
Hi, I have some original Star Wars. My husband would buy one for our son, and then he would take them, and we would laugh at him because we thought it was hilarious that he would save these stupid toys. Now, he also has some original
Wait. Your husband saved them or your son saved them?
No, he bought them.
No, my husband. Yeah, my husband bought one for our son to play with and one for him to keep because he said this
smart.
Is going to be
That's
huge.
What we talk about.
Are you married to Bill Leff?
Yeah, like
that's what we preach all the time. Buy two.
Yeah, and then also like the number one comic books and then some of the card sets and wrappers.
Wow.
So what do you think?
Well, we'll start on the low end. Cards set with rappers might not be, you know, worth that much. If they're the Star Wars ones, yeah, they could be a little bit more. But typically, you're talking like $5 a pack for, like, we talked about wacky packs and other novelty-type cards.
But the Star Wars toys.
But the toys, yeah. If they're Mego or Kenner, those can be hundreds of dollars just for single figure and upwards of even $1,000.
Yeah. What about Jar Jar Binks? An original Jar Jar Binks in package?
Well, I'm not a Star Wars guy, but I think Jar Jar came out later, so yeah.
it's like a dollar.
Yeah, so I mean, not a dollar, but not as much as the late '70s.
I have an Empire Strikes Back Skywalker where he's in the cold, you know, the outfit. Mm-hmm. It's missing a leg,
right?
But still,
why did you break all your toys? You broke everything.
I put them in precarious
situations.
This
is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, all right. That's right. So you, Steve, Super Joe has to pick a winner. We need to go to break.
Well, we got to do one more. It's Eileen. Eileen, hello.
Hi.
What do you have?
I have an antique French dresser. It's mahogany, and it has a two-tiered marble top with beveled mirror, and it's on raised carved legs with original hardware.
How old? Any idea?
1880.
Wow.
Yeah. If you're going to sell that, it's going to be a tough sell because you want to do local pickup on eBay or do Craigslist or OfferUp or Letgo. You're probably looking at $400 to $800.
What? Yeah. It's 1880.
Yeah. I know. I looked
you
up.
You sell it for $400, and one of these boutiques are like, it's 1880, $2,500 in resale. That's
and they'll jack it up.
They'll jack it up.
Yep. That's ridiculous. What kind of a scam are you running?
And I don't buy furniture.
So. Oh, okay.
He reps all.
I forgot. You're one of the good guys.
Right.
All right, Super Joe.
All right, so Super Joe, who's the winner? Super Joe's deciding right now. Super Joe?
Eileen's the winner.
Eileen's the winner!
Wow.
Congratulations. Wow, there you go.
Nice pack.
Congratulations. She gets herself the Sweet Alley's Bakery package, as described. You can take that up with Joe later.
Joe looked like he's extremely busy on the phone. He's like, oh, whoever's name is in front of me, Eileen. Yeah.
No,
I think Dave and the Kenny Holtzman.
You don't get a vote.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that I'm the judge. I'm like Simon Cowell.
You know, Dave already hung up in disgust.
Yeah, I think that's great. Kenny Holtzman's wedding in Niles, 1969.
Great seeing you.
Good to be here.
And now that you're off the weekends, where can people find you?
They'll have to go through DuPage Picker on Facebook or Instagram, YouTube, any media.
Or call you about an Uber. Picker,
right. Okay. Call me for an Uber.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Thanks.
Stand by. We'll come back. Quick hi to Jamal Mayers in just a second about a cool Blackhawks announcement right after this on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
You know what would be cool is that the Blackhawks had a fantasy camp. Wouldn't it be cool if you could go and you could hang out with veterans and stuff and skate and play?
Really cool.
Jamal Mayers is here. Jamal, wouldn't that be cool if you had a fantasy camp for the Blackhawks?
Yeah, it would be.
Well, you ought to announce it then.
Well, first, I have a lamp that
Yeah, follow that, smart guy. There really is going to be a fantasy camp. Tell me where and when.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be, obviously, March 22nd to the 24th, and you're going to have upwards, only 50 spots available. So, basically, these hockey players will get a chance to feel what it's like to hang out with the Hawks the whole weekend, and they get their own gear. There's locker rooms where they'll be treated exactly like an NHL player for a weekend with
pretty cool
events and dinners and all that stuff included. So,
and you get to play because there's going to be Team Savard, Team Esposito, Team Hall, Team Makita. They're going to split it up, and you're going to play. Well, that's pretty cool.
Exactly. So it should be a ton of fun, and obviously it includes a stay at the Westin downtown on Michigan Avenue, and pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I don't play often, but these events, when you're raising money, especially for something like the Blackhawks Foundation, it makes it worthwhile to suit back up.
Jamal, how much experience do you have to participate in this? Because I would think there are some people who could probably haven't skated in years. Would they be appropriate for this?
That's a great question. Absolutely. We're not out here. It's non-contact. We're not looking to... There will be no scouts at the games.
What?
Trying to find guys for next year.
Count me out.
So we're just out there having fun. And regardless of your skill set or skill level, we're out there hopefully all for the same reasons, just to have a great time and have a great weekend. And meet some new people.
All right, so will there be medical staff on hand? Because you know what happens. You get the guy my age who could play a little back in the day, who's going to come out and he's going to pull a hammy when he puts his skates on for the first time.
Yeah, there'll be trainers there. There'll be equipment staff, trainers. We'll tape up your ankles, do whatever we need to do to get you out there. And we'll
come for the dinner, stay for the massage.
I like that Scott Foster is going to be there. That's the goalie accountant.
Right. Yeah, the guy. The famous stand-in goalie.
That's right. Who would have thought?
So you got Jamal Mayers, you got Soup, you got Brian Campbell, Ben Eager. I mean, a whole bunch of folks.
Shelly.
Shelly's going to be there. Savvy, Dennis Savard.
Eddie Olchak as well. So it's
what's he ever done?
Stories and reminiscing of the time when we used to play, and we'll definitely hear some stories. Savvy's got some good ones, and I'm sure Shelly does as well. So
and in the entire time, there'll be Hawks management walking around trying to keep the players from telling the stories they shouldn't tell. It's a great idea, man. It's a great idea. How do people register?
Yeah, you just go to Blackhawks.com, and there's a special thing there for the event that allows them to click on it, the Legends Cup, and you can register there. Or if that doesn't work for you, you can contact Spencer Montgomery at the Blackhawks, just like it sounds, smontgomery@blackhawks.com. But all the information's on the website, and you can register there. And again, there's only 50 spots available, so once they're gone, you're going to have to wait till next year.
Get in. It could go today. Blackhawks.com/Legends Cup. Jamal, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, this segment had been set aside to interview Alderman Danny Solis's wire. It wasn't available. So we had Ro coming instead. Ro Khan's here. Hi, Ro.
I actually have it in my personal museum of Chicago corruption.
You had Danny Solis's wire?
Yes. I also have Dick Mell's quarters that he threw, that were thrown at him the night of Eugene Sawyer becoming president, or becoming mayor. I really enjoy Chicago politics.
As you should.
Mm-hmm.
And your jealousy and bitterness about Rom coming on this show is really palpable.
I have to say that as I'm listening to it this morning, I'm thinking to myself, I have never had a conversation that was warm or lasted more than 30 seconds with Rahm Emanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And you two are like, you're like a buddy picture, the two of you.
And you think, when you think of me, you think warm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. He really does not like to talk publicly to, especially the press.
Yeah.
And you get stuff out of him. It's amazing.
It's it's really the torture. It's the torture. It's really the way I hold his feet to the fire.
He just likes you.
Yeah.
He just likes
you. We get good stuff out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, you can't take him the way you took Anna and Kevin and everybody else that worked on this show. I don't know that you're working on a deal with Dave and Sandberg as well.
I think the mayor also takes credit for you and your health streak of, getting fit and
losing
weight. The mayor thinks that he has had a lot to do with that.
He says he's very proud.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. Excuse me. Apparently, we need to evacuate.
The National Weather Service
right now has issued a flash flood watch, a warning, say, for Will and Grundy, Illinois. So if you live in Will or Grundy right now, swim hard because there is a flood watch until 12:45 today. That was the beeping, and it goes off in studio so we can share that vital information with you. Hey, I want to play something for you. I don't know if you saw the State of the Union last night.
Yes.
Hey, Super Joe. Super Joe, are you listening to the show? Super Joe? Super Joe, you with me? Super Joe? Super Joe, would you give me a little bit of Trump from State of the Union last night? Just whenever you're ready, just roll Trump last night from the State of the Union.
If there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. It just doesn't work that way. We must be united at home to defeat our adversaries abroad. This new era of cooperation can start with finally confirming the more than 300 highly qualified nominees who are still stuck in the Senate, in some cases years and years waiting. Not right.
How many years could it possibly be?
And he had Republican House and Senate, and he couldn't get anything done. By the way, I love the Jesse Jackson riff in the beginning when he started to rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the key, I like his theory on this. The key to his success is to stop the investigations into him. Because
the problem
with these investigations is that they will probably find something.
You know what they do when they investigate you? They investigate you. And that's the biggest problem. Now, see if this sounds familiar. We have a president from the past who actually asked for a similar thing in the State of the Union. Please roll the older president clip.
Mr. President, my distinguished colleagues and our guests, I would like to add a personal word with regard to an issue that has been of great concern to all Americans over the past year. I refer, of course, to the investigations of the so-called Watergate affair. As you know, I have provided to the special prosecutor voluntarily a great deal of material. I believe that I have provided all the material that he needs to conclude his investigations and to proceed to prosecute the guilty and to clear the innocent. I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end. 1 year of Watergate is enough.
I don't know about you. Maybe it's me. I notice similarities there. There's something similar about those two.
When are you going to end it? There's nothing to see here. You haven't found anything in a year, or in this case, 2 years.
Right.
So a year and a half. So let's just get over it. Right. Let's just move along. I mean, show us what you got. If you don't got enough, let's go on.
Continuing to indict people and put people in jail who are as close to me as possible. Obviously, I'm innocent. So let's move on.
Well, I think the story today is an interesting one about Michael Cohen. His testimony, his closed-door testimony at the House, has been postponed.
Because of his fear of retribution?
No, because of his new lawyer, Mike Monaco.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're a good friend.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pushing back. They're in a hold position.
The original volunteer to testify and bail out prior to being subpoenaed to testify, the bailout was because of pressure on the father-in-law and concern for the family, according to Mr. Cohen.
Right. Well, now, this was a closed door.
Okay.
And the thing is that there's other stuff coming forward now as part of other investigations, not involving Michael Cohen, but other investigations about, obviously, the Southern District of New York is interested in things that were going on in the campaign and in the business. Also things that Michael Cohen would have access to information.
And again, the partisan investigations in the Southern District of New York are being conducted by appointees of Donald Trump.
Yes.
So,
well, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York is an appointee, but those are career line lawyers. The issue is going to be, does he fire his own appointee, which doesn't do anything.
And again, that's very Nixonian.
You fire the guy, it doesn't matter. The next guy up. Yeah, I mean, they can't because the Justice Department, they actually have rules.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
I know. Yeah, Nixon didn't like him either.
I think it'd be great if everything Trump did rhymed.
And you know who else didn't like him? Bill Clinton didn't like him either. Guys who have something to hide don't like him. Guys who are like, go ahead, I'm an open book. Except that was born in Kenya, according to Joe Ricketts.
I just found another rhyme from the State of the Union last night. I tan, so I'm not pale, so I'll look better when I end up in jail. That was in the State of the Union last night.
Oh, you know, it's a strange color of orange. It just is. I can't get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that Roger Stone had it, too? That when Roger Stone came out of his house...
He's kind of a silvery orange.
Yeah, but he had the thing where it was like just orange on his face, but his neck and everything else was like super white.
I tell you what I thought after Adam Levine took his shirt off, is Roger Stone his real father. Because, you know, Roger Stone's all about the tats. He's got the Nixon tat on his back, the whole thing. And it's a handsome, handsome man as well.
Did you see that Adam Levine uses his nipple as the letter O?
Oh.
For one of the words of his tattoo.
Did not know
smart.
That.
Yeah. Smart.
Clever.
Smart. Yeah. That's good nipple use. Yeah.
Well, it's efficient. Because also, you don't really, I think getting a tat on the nipple, probably not a good idea.
No, but think, you're going by the word, you know, you got to pay for that. So he got an O, where he doesn't have to spend the O.
Good point.
Nipple is an O.
Right. Unless there's a deformity there and he could turn it into a Q.
That's the only thing that makes that halftime show valuable in any way to me is to learn that piece of
information. The only one that looked less interested in that halftime show than Adam Levine was me, and nobody had a camera on me at that point. So, and I like Maroon 5. What are you doing today?
We're doing a radio show. And now, what Anna, as start? You mentioned, o'clock? Starts yes. at 3 o'clock. Now, as you mentioned, Anna is going to be hosting the candidate forum tonight that we are running.
Will you be talking about that? After
yes. Time? And okay. We're going to run some of the test questions. She's going to ask me the questions as though I were the candidate.
I want you to answer them like Willie Wilson. That's Roe this afternoon with Anna at 3 o'clock. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill's here, Bill F. and Wendy, and Bill's very angry with me.
I'm not angry.
Oh, you know?
I'm just disappointed.
Okay.
What'd he do?
Well, that's even worse.
That is. Doesn't that hurt more?
That totally does.
He had a very intelligent...
Next thing you know, you're going to shake your head and just walk away.
He had a very intelligent caller on with some Star Wars questions, and Steve wondered if it was my wife, and it was not my wife, and I think you owe everybody an apology and a fruit basket.
Any particular kind of fruit?
Tangerines.
All right, I'm in.
All right.
No problem. How's everything else?
Everything else is great.
It is great?
Yes.
Yeah? Give me one thing that's super.
Pitchers and catchers report in a week.
That is good. How about Wendy? You got anything super?
No, I got nothing.
How about average? You got anything average?
I work with Bill every day.
Well, there's your average.
Right there. Thank you.
That was still on the good point.
That was good. I thought that was good. Steve took it a different way.
All right, you guys enjoy the show. We will, because we'll be listening, and then I'll come back tomorrow.